So before we start, I just wanted to check, has anyone coveted their neighbour's donkey this week? No? No, Alex says no, he hasn't. That's good. Anyone murdered anyone? Because that could be a real problem. Not yet. Okay, slightly concerning. I'll get up more promptly for the reading next time, that's okay. It's interesting that we've got to look at these commands and we wonder what they mean to us today. But before we dive into what they might mean to us today, let me remind you actually that we're in the middle of this biography of Jesus that we call the Gospel of Matthew. And if you remember, I suggested way back now that it's like a sandwich. You have the beginning piece of bread where Matthew introduces Jesus as the kingdom coming, as the new Moses. And then you have the end, where we see in the last few chapters, we see Jesus go into the cross to die for you and I. And then in the middle, you have this sort of mishmash, if it's anything like my sandwiches, of tomato and beef and salad and a bit of mustard and whatever. And that is the area where Jesus teaches us what it means to walk like him in the world, what it means to see his kingdom coming. And right now, we're in this sort of period of time where we're in chapters 4 to 7, where Jesus really takes hold and teaches, mainly in the Sermon on the Mount, his moral code, as it were, how we are to live his life. All of the teachers of that time would have their spin, but of course, this time we're talking about God coming. And just before he teaches this moral code, he says this: "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Any idea what the law or the prophets might be? Any brave souls out there going to suggest what they might be? Yeah, you've all gone very quiet now, haven't you? And the truth is, the law would typically have been Genesis through to some parts of Deuteronomy, so the first few books of what we call our Bible, but what the Jewish people would call the Torah. So the law would be there, and amongst other things. And then we have the prophets, of course, which are Isaiah, Jeremiah, and right through all those books up to Malachi. And we see the prophets spoken of there. Words spoken to these people by God, so that his people here on earth might understand what it means to love him. Now, the problem we have as apprentices to Jesus, which is how I like to refer to us, isn't it? The problem that we have is we quite often say, well, that's very nice, the Old Testament, the Torah, the Old Testament. It's all very good and nice. It's a nice sort of lead up to the fact that Jesus is coming. That was nice for the Jewish people. But we have the New Testament. We have the New Testament. And of course, in our society, anything that is old is deemed not as good as that is new, isn't it? Now, that's a whole different discussion that we can have another time. The fact that we ditch some very good things from tradition sometimes, but you're going to get into a hobby horse there if you're not careful. So we tend to think of the new as being better, because we have Jesus, don't we? So therefore, the new is better. The problem we've got as apprentices to Jesus is our Master, our God, says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So how do we marry that up with what we know? What did Jesus mean by fulfill the law? Now, there are many theologians that suggest that actually the law will come in two forms. You have the law itself, part of which is the Ten Commandments, but other laws as well. Generally, as I said earlier on, from Genesis through to parts of Deuteronomy. And then you have what is known often as the Mosaic Code. Words given to mainly to Moses, but to others, on how people might live their life in that context. And so you have things like "you shall not murder," Exodus. That is law. That is also truth. It's a good thing to not do, isn't it? And it's actually good for us to take action upon that now, to not murder. It's quite difficult to be an apprentice to Jesus and still go around murdering people, isn't it? It's not, you know. So that is an all-time truth there, law that's good for us as followers of Jesus today. And then thinking about barbecues this afternoon, Deuteronomy says, "Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk." So Peter, No goat cooking in mother's milk this afternoon, all right? Now you might think, well, I might be, you know, well, why is, what's that about? I mean, why shouldn't we cook a goat in mother's milk? I might quite like a bit of goat in a mother's milk, its mother's milk, I don't know. The problem is, for the Jewish people at the time, they were surrounded by nations like the Canaanites, for example. Guess how the Canaanites worshipped their gods? Sacrificing goats and boiling them in mother's milk. So there is a piece of Mosaic code. The truth is true, because actually what they're saying is, don't bring your pagan ways of worship to worship the true God. So that's an all-time truth, isn't it? Now, the action of it, there's not too much of an issue for us generally boiling goats in their mother's milk, is it? So the action is a bit, well, how do we, you know, how does that mean, what's that mean for us today? But there's still some truth to learn in there. I mean, do we drag our pagan ways or worldly ways into the worship of our God? There's still some truth in there, isn't there? So you get the law, do not murder, good thing not to do, even for us today. And then the Mosaic Code, which, and somehow we've got to work out what the Mosaic Code and parts of the law mean to us today. Because Jesus says, I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. The God that we claim to worship says that. He's saying, I have not come to wipe away the law, but actually to show you God's heart behind it. I am the fulfillment of the law. If you walk in this world the way that Jesus walks, you will naturally fulfill God's heart behind the law and the Mosaic Code. And we will find out actually over the next few weeks as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has not come to wipe away that, but actually to ratchet up quite a lot. We'll start hearing words like, do not murder. You hear say things like, you've heard it said, do not murder. But I say, do not get angry. That's taken up another notch, isn't it? That's not letting us off. That's saying, actually, if you really want to love God, love people, walk justly and humbly with your God, then you've got to ratchet that up a bit. And it's okay for Jesus, isn't it? Because he is God. So he knows what laws we must literally keep. And he knows where the heart of the law is, what he's wanting us to do. All well and good for Jesus. Not so great for us, though, is it? Because how do we, as apprentices to him, how do we follow that today? I mean, what laws do we have to keep? That's probably the question that we might ask, isn't it? I could drag my son over here who goes home tomorrow, and I could stand him there in front of all you good people, and I could say, Jack Cross, Leviticus 19:28, do not cut your body for the dead or put tattoo marks on your body. Like I've told him for his whole life and then he completely ignored me. And that's all well and good, isn't it? I mean, there are plenty of young people these days getting tattoos and plenty of my father. In fact, I'm the only one in my family who hasn't got a tattoo. You should see my mum's. No. But you see, Jack is a biblically literate man. So he would say to me, rector. He would say, just go back one verse. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip the edges of your beard. And I have to confess to you people this morning, I did shave today, so my apologies about breaking that law. You see, the problem for me, I don't know if it's like you, but the problem for me is actually I quite like rules and laws. I think Alec is probably on me with this one. I quite like the idea. You do that and that happens. No. We're of one mind with this, I think. You do this and you do that. If you do that, the consequences will be that. I quite like a God that would, in fact, if God could just rewrite this whole book just along those lines, I mean, I'd be very happy. But that's not what he does. And so to ask the question, what as apprentices to Jesus, what laws do we need to follow, is perhaps the wrong question to ask. Perhaps the question that we should be asking is different to that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there aren't things that we do that don't displease God. And I'm not saying that there aren't things that we should do that would please God. I think when we do things in the will of God, he smiles. And I think when I go wrong and do things that go off base, I hurt him. So there are right and wrong ways of living. But actually, I think The question is behind the heart. Because Jesus says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Anyone feeling super righteous this morning? No hands up. Mine isn't. I'm a fool. You see, we can't be that righteous. Actually, the Pharisees get a hard time from us Jesus followers, but actually they were desperately trying to follow what they believed at the time to be the way to honour God. And yet Jesus turns to them and people like them and he says, probably some of the harshest words he says to people. He doesn't say his harsh words to people who don't know God, or people that are seeking God. He says his harshest words to the religious people. He says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For from the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." That's from Matthew a bit further down the line. Because we find out, don't we? Just as Samuel said, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. No, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, I think the correct question to ask is not what laws do I have to keep, but how, as I read this scripture, how can I seek the heart of Jesus behind it and live my life such that my righteousness is beyond the Pharisees? It's like the walk of Jesus. That's the question. I think for me, that's the big idea, that actually the rules are second best. Yes, we need to keep some of them, don't we? Do not murder is definitely a good one to keep. But actually, as we seek for God's kingdom to come in the here, in the now, out there in Bedhampton during the summer show, as you seek for God's kingdom to come in your workplace, in your clubs, actually, we ask ourselves, as Jesus would, what is the heart behind the scriptures in this book? As I finish, I think I've told you the story before, but it bears telling one more time. As I've said already, we've got three children who are grown up. But actually, when they were younger, I used to make the law in the house. I used to make the rules of the house. I was the disciplinarian. Susie was just way too nice. And so I would say things like, don't drink the Coke in the fridge unless Mum and Dad are around. Seemed a good law to me, good rule to me. I pay for it. Don't want too much sugar in Jack, trust me. And then I'd go to the fridge to get a nice cold glass of Coke to find actually there was a nice empty bottle of Coke in the fridge. And I won't tell you who the culprit was, but when I confronted him, he would say, "But Dad, you were around. You were in the room next door." See, he lived by the law. He lived by the rule. He didn't break any rules. We were around. But he missed the heart behind it. And then, of course, you know, the girls don't get away with this either. You know, I'd say to the girls, Becky and Jess, I'd say, "Don't pinch Jack. If you pinch Jack, I can't stop him retaliating it." You know? And then I'd be working at home, as I often did, and I'd hear a cry across the house, and I'd run over to the living room or wherever it was, and I'd walk in, and there'd be Jesse pointing at Jack, going, "He punched me, and I didn't pinch him." And Jack going, "No, you kicked me." She lived by the law, by the rule, but missed the heart behind it. Because my heart for the rules in our house were that we would have a family who loved one another, who lived in peace together, who walked as best we could together. And I think actually, as we look at Jesus' response in Matthew to the law in the Old Testament, the Torah and the prophets, that's what we need to see. Actually, am I living my life in a way that loves people as God suggests? Am I walking humbly with my God? When we go out there and we speak to people, do we say, "You can't come here and have your child baptized because I don't think you're truly following what's going on in here"? Do we say, "You can't be married in our church because I'm not sure whether you've been coming long enough because, you know, I'm not sure if you live by all the laws"? When you go and to work or clubs, do you avoid that annoying person because you're not sure that they follow the rules of Jesus, the rules of the Bible? Do you perhaps have an annoying neighbour, or even, like myself, have you lost relationship with someone in your family? because you felt that, you know, maybe they're not quite doing what God would have them do. I confess to you, last night, only last night, I felt, you know, I felt confirmed to go and speak to someone in my family who I had broken relationship with. I couldn't stand before you today and preach to you about the love of God without first taking that step. Because we muck up, don't we? I muck up all the time. I muck up all the time, and my heart is not like that of Jesus. And yet Jesus didn't say, Max, your heart has to be right before I come and die for you on the cross. He didn't say that you have to do so many things. You have to live by all these rules before I came to die for you. He said, no, I come to die for you on the cross. Now let's walk together as our hearts are transformed. And I think that's, guys, is what God has said to me this week. As we reach out to Bedhampton and beyond, as we reach out to those that don't yet know Jesus, as we share the love of Christ with them, let's not beat them over the head with our Bibles, which are so precious to us. But actually, let's say, yeah, I muck up as much as you do. Come, walk with me. Let's discover the true heart behind these rules. Let's discover the true love behind these rules as we walk towards Jesus together.